in my server, serving me. Your computer won't print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Adam, the computer guy, did somebody say my name? Well, I do believe that is the case. In fact, it was the dulcet tones and musical magic of Mr. Paul Savage performing that tune on his keyboard instrumentation and the power of the human vocal cords. Thank you very much, Paul. Of course, he sings a theme song for Charlie Evers and many of our other show hosts here on Marion's Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 FM. That stands for Frequency Modulation, where I encourage you to listen frequently on your car radio, home radio, office radio, bicycle radio, what have you. But if you're not in the Marion area, that's okay. You can listen online 24/7 with our website at WWGH1071.com. Just click on the little triangle thingy to listen online. You know, I use terms like thingy because that's what it is. It's a thingy. Or you can download a free app for your smartphone. Go to TuneIn, search for WWGH if you've not already installed TuneIn, and you can listen that way. We'll connect you in a few seconds. Sound quality is excellent. Never miss a program. We're available anytime through the magic and power of technology in varying forms. You can also go to our aforementioned website, which is maintained by yours truly. Yes, that would be me. Anyway, at WWGH1071.com, click on Show Archives, and you can listen to pretty much every show that we've broadcast since early January, when it was cold and I started here at the station. So hundreds of shows are literally available, as well as some from before that time, from Steve Boom Boom Cannon and much, much more. Listen at your convenience. And hey, tell me what you think about the website, about the shows that we have. Our station is constantly evolving, constantly improving. We are, without question, the leading media outlet here in the beautiful historic city of Marion, Ohio. You can email me anytime, adam@wwgh1071.com. So anyway, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Well, as I say, we talk today's top technology topics, as well as topics that relate to technology, and pretty much in this world dominated by social media and other electronic and high-tech methods of communication, technology, computers, media touches us in many different ways, be it sports or politics or even things like self-driving cars or robots or medical technology. Those are all fair game. We take your telephone calls. I am live here in the studio, right here in the Marion Center Mall. Pick up your phone, cell phone, rotary dial phone, landline, VoIP phone, POTS, plain old telephone service. Any of that is fine. Pick up your device in the telephone category. Give me a call. We can talk about stories that I've discussed, dozens of the stories that I brought up over the last few weeks, as well as what's on your mind in terms of your computer at the home or the office, or pretty much any topic that relates to technology, or feel free to pick one. We're an open forum. We are your station, and I thank you very much for having a chance to provide stimulation to your eardrums. Phone number here at the station, 740-383-9944. 740-383-WWGH. I'm expecting one or two of my regular callers to be telephoning in. So stay right where you are. Make the coffee, the tea, or whatever your favorite beverage is. because this show is worth waking up for, worth listening to. Good stuff. Coming up after me, we have our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. He's a man who has perspectives on pretty much anything related to Mid-Ohio. He's a walking encyclopedia of the area. Again, like myself, not one to shy away from wisecracks and opinions, perspective. And, of course, you can call him live in the studio. He loves to talk to you. He gives away prizes. What a great show. Charlie Evers coming up after me. But, again, you have me, Adam the Computer Guy, until about 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So don't despair. It's a good show. We're going to discuss about smartphones today, about some things that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg does, and we'll be taking your phone calls. Again, 740-383-9944. So you may have heard about the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and the fact that it is, out of lack of a better term, a somewhat dangerous device. It has been known to explode and to smoke. And again, smoking is not permitted indoors, but I guess for the Galaxy Note 7, it does that, and that's not a very good thing, as it can be very, very dangerous. And reports about the Galaxy Note 7 doing that started coming out, I would say, last month. Now, Samsung still hasn't finalized an official recall with the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. But the Consumer Product Safety Commission, as you may expect, is now publicly urging anyone who has a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 to stop using or charging their phone. Do you have a Samsung Galaxy Note 7? Give me a call. Let me know what you think about this. Have you stopped using it? Are you going to switch devices? Maybe even switch to an iPhone. Of course, a lot of controversy now with the iPhone and changes in the operating system, removal of the 3.5-millimeter headset jack. So, a lot going on in the smartphone business. Sometimes these phones really aren't very smart. Anyway, with respect to the Galaxy Note 7 and this problem of it not being safe, to put it mildly, the lithium-ion battery can overheat. And when it does that, again, that can cause the phone to start smoking or to overheat. I have a telephone call, and I believe this is Mr. Harry Yipram Jr. from Columbus, a man with great perspective. Let's hear what he has to say today. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. I believe this is Harry. Am I not? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, Adam. Hey, actually, I'm getting some feedback from something else.
Go ahead and turn your listening device down. Hold on a second, please. Let me see if that's... Hold on a second for me, actually. Give me a second here to see why it's doing that.
Yeah. Sounds like a lady giving some sort of direction.
Right. What I think happened is that I looked at a news story and the woman was actually giving a news report. Because of the slight delay with the online listening, I think it's actually playing that, even though I don't actually hear it on my end. But that's sometimes how technology works. It always throws you a curve or two. But I think we'll be okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but I can still hear a lady.
Okay.
Now she's gone.
That's okay. Well, as Daryl Hall and
I'm
John...
I'm sure that was a very informative report
Yeah, well, it's an important story. Do you have a Samsung Galaxy a phone, Harry? Are you worried about the battery overheating, or have you...
I do not have a Samsung. I have a Motorola, of all things, which actually seems has served me well, so I can't complain. But no, I do not have a Samsung. Haven't had one for a few years.
Yeah, it's definitely been a strange... what's going on with the music here?
Now I'm getting music.
Okay, well, we'll fix that. Okay, I think I took care of that. Anyway, it's been kind of a weird few weeks for the smartphone industry. It's probably why the lady was interjecting this fine radio show of mine. Anyway,
yes.
Apple discontinuing the 3.5-millimeter headset jack. And I know one of my younger friends, he said he doesn't like the new iOS, too many changes, and he might go to Android. He's been an iPhone user exclusively since he knew what a smartphone was, and he may be joining me as an Android user. So it's been a pretty crazy week in the smartphone business.
Well, I've always been an Android user myself, and yeah, I've seen the reports too. It looks like they're having some issues with the iOS with the upgrade recently, and a lot of people seem to be regretting taking the upgrade, and a lot of people are avoiding it. So
right. Well, that gives me more things to talk about. Now, you wanted to talk about something that relates
quite a bit
to social media and to computers, as you're an aficionado of the sports business and not one to shy away from an opinion, which is always great. You were live in the studio, in fact, on St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, yes, I was. In fact, a long time no talk, actually. But yeah, actually, it's an issue. It's a topic that has garnered a lot of opinions, pro and con, on social media. And actually, it is going to be right here in the Central Ohio area tonight. In fact, here in Columbus, at I guess what they call Maffrey Stadium. Most people just know it as Columbus Crew Stadium.
How do you pronounce that, Harry? I thought it was map free, like we used to have the check
free map.
The map free. I mean, maps are free with Google Maps. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I'm glad you did, because I really had no idea.
I think it's Maffrey, and it's an insurance company. Not to give them a plug, but I do believe that's how it's pronounced. But tonight, the U.S. Women's National Team, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, is going to play what they call a friendly, I guess, an exhibition game against Thailand. And one of the stars on the team, Megan Rapinoe, is one of the athletes who recently has been kneeling during the national anthem. And there's a controversy tonight where apparently U.S. soccer is pressuring her not to kneel. And she has stated she is undecided whether she will stand or kneel for tonight's national anthem at Columbus Crew Stadium. So the national anthem controversy actually hits Columbus, Ohio tonight, and that's a story that I think has flown under the radar, and I'm kind of shocked a lot of the talk show hosts and so forth here in Columbus haven't capitalized on it.
Well, that's what we're here for, Harry, because we talk about today's top and trending and important topics. And there's been a lot of controversy, and I mean I kind of have mixed opinions. I mean, we do have freedom
I
of speech
too.
But I think we do hold athletes who make a lot more money than we do, millions of dollars, we hold them to a higher standard. And I think professional sports is one of the things that makes America great.
And
I'm for freedom of speech, but I kind of think you probably should stand for the national anthem.
I'm for freedom of speech as well, and I remember I go back to the days when Charles Barkley said, listen, I'm just an athlete. I'm not a role model, and I actually fall into that group. I never have looked to athletes as far as opinions and making a decision on topics like politics and healthcare and things like that. I like to watch football, baseball, basketball, hockey. I'm not looking for them for great opinions on great topics. But as far as the current controversy, and we have the young lady tonight who's part of it, but to a greater extent, obviously, Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers, who she got her inspiration from, he has the right to do this. But whether I agree with it or not is another thing. And quite honestly, I believe you should stand during the national anthem and just show respect. But I'm not going to trash the guy like some have and throw him under the bus, so to speak, because it's his right to do it. I would not do such a thing, but it is wholly within his right to do it. Now, whether his employer likes it or not and feels there should be repercussions, that's another thing. If the Niners eventually decide to cut him, well, that's up to them. That's their right.
So as we often talk about, Harry, you being a media of you being a guru of social media or a socially active person, is the buzz on social media having a pretty big effect on this? I would say it certainly is. I think one thing that we see a lot in these memes or whatever you call them is people were maybe more upset about Tim Tebow and his religion and his openly showing of his religion than they are about this. And is that kind of, is that un-American? Maybe people just want a diversion from the election. That could be part of it also.
That could be too.
You kind of look at it in both ways. You want to talk about something that's important, but maybe a little bit lighter. I mean, the election is very serious.
I've seen those too. And quite honestly, I don't even remember all that many in the media who actually took shots at Tebow for his religion. I think there may have been a few here and there, but overall, I don't remember a great number of the media being outraged at Tim Tebow and his showing of his religious beliefs, but I think it gives something for people to rally around, to make memes about, to complain about, and to kind of gear people towards their side of an issue. Now, I think the Kaepernick thing, I do believe there is a little bit of a slant in the media regarding this, and it is more towards being favorable of what he is doing. And as I said before, I have no problem with him doing it. It's within his right. Would I do such a thing? No. I just think as a show of respect, you should stand during the anthem. And it'll be interesting tonight to see if Ms. Rapinoe, if she will stand or kneel, and depending on what she does, the reaction to it. I imagine there'll be a sizable crowd tonight. I'm sure there'll be media coverage. But as I said before, I'm shocked at how little heat this is getting when we have such a controversy coming right here in our backyard.
Is the whole thing, Harry, maybe a publicity stunt, maybe by the players? And sometimes if they incite controversy, they gain popularity. You kind of wonder sometimes what the players do to stay in business.
Yeah, you do wonder about that. And quite honestly, when she started this little mini protest of hers in regards to showing respect for Kaepernick, the first game she did it at, they showed pictures of it. It's for a team, I believe, called the Seattle Reign. That's in a women's professional soccer league, and the pictures from the game itself, there may have been tens of dozens in the crowd. So I guess there is that to think that maybe there's an aspect of garnering a little more attention and maybe getting a little more as far as butts in the seats for this professional league. Tonight's game, though, is a different subject. I don't think they'd have any trouble selling tickets for this tonight, being that's the U.S. women's soccer team. But it's going to be interesting to see the reaction to it, depending on what she does. And it's going to be interesting to see what she does, if she will stand or kneel.
Are you attending this event, Harry?
No, I will not. I will not be attending the actual game itself. I'll be following on probably Twitter or Facebook to see what the response is. But no, I won't be at the game tonight. I'll be watching football tonight.
Are you like me, Harry, and believe that watching soccer is less exciting than watching paint dry?
I actually used to be of that opinion. I've changed over the past year or so because I have attended a couple of soccer matches here in Columbus and a few in Cincinnati. And actually, it's not that bad. I still wouldn't rank it as one of my favorite sports, but I've grown to appreciate it. It is very skillful, and if you sit in the right sections during a game, like especially with the rowdiest of fans, it can be fun. It can be fun. So I am no longer a soccer hater, hashtag hater, as they like to say on social media, but does it rank up there with baseball, football, basketball, hockey as far as my favorites? No. No, it probably never will.
Because soccer is, and I never quite understood why, the number one sport in the great world we live in, and the internet and the World Wide Web is in the world, is the internet and being able to exchange information even with somebody across the globe in a split second, has that made soccer have a better exposure? I think it's helped Columbus. We have, I believe, the only soccer-only stadium.
Yeah. Well, that's changed. I believe there are some other cities that now have just soccer-specific stadiums, but Columbus was the first.
Do you think remember the WLAF, the World League of American Football, where they tried to bring them, when of course they call soccer football in Europe, and American football is kind of a unique game, and I agree, it's exciting. I mean, not a game I want to play myself because I wouldn't have any bones left, but for those who do, I certainly admire them. And the internet allows us to exchange information, exchange entertainment venues in a split second, even with somebody across the globe or your next door neighbor. Would maybe the ability to have games that are more popular in America, certainly American football, and to a lesser extent baseball, has the internet helped kind of proliferate that across the globe, or could we do a better job, or are people kind of stubborn in what sports they think are interesting and what sports they don't?
I think most people are actually stubborn. I think actually the popularity of soccer here in America is not so much because of the internet, but I believe it's actually because there are games now, which I guess the internet would help as far as streaming, but Saturday mornings apparently now on NBCSN, NBC Sports Network, which NBCSN is the acronym for, they show English Premier League games every Saturday morning, and apparently quite a few people here across the pond from Europe watch those games, and I think that really has sparked the interest in soccer here in America, having those games on Saturday morning, because quite honestly, a lot of people, when they wake up on Saturday morning, there's not much to watch unless you have kids in the house. So I'm sure the TV might gravitate towards those matches. And if you have a nice TV, I'm going to be honest, it is fun to watch nice HD or 4HUD TV or whatever they're calling it now. It is pretty impressive to watch the field, the green grass, and the match on such a TV. So I think that has helped a lot.
And you mentioned, Harry, that you'll be viewing a American football event on your 57-inch TV at the Yeprum Junior household in
the compound,
the North London area of the great capital city of Columbus, Ohio, USA. We were going to talk about this on the show, and I thought maybe you would be a good person to talk about it with, or as we say, conversate, one of those made-up words that people sometimes use.
Yes.
You're aware of the exclusive partnership between Twitter and the live streaming.
I saw that.
Thursday Night Football.
That's
a big story and one I was going to cover, so I might as well cover it with you because, again, football fan, Twitter user, again, Harry from CBUS, if I recall.
Yes.
And all-around interesting person.
Okay.
Is that kind of a blow to Facebook and other? Or do you think that Twitter has really made quite an accomplishment with this partnership? Will this help them grow, and will they make more money? Will it help the NFL, or will it maybe take people away from going to live games? What's your take on that?
I think it'll help a little bit. I don't think it's going to have a major impact because there's ways to stream the game online even without Twitter. Quite honestly, Twitter seems to have taken a beating lately, and Facebook really has taken hold as far as social media. Now, I know there are those who are in the camps of either one or the other. There are some people who are just diehard Twitter users, and then there are those who are diehard Facebook users. I use both. I gravitate a little bit more to Facebook, but I do believe Facebook really has taken over when it comes to social media, and this is one way Twitter, I guess, is hoping it can maybe carve out a little bit of the space that Facebook has gained.
They're up. NFL's commissioner, Roger Goodell, said, I think it's Goodell, I think.
Goodell.
Goodell, yeah. I wasn't sure about meme or mem. You said mem, and I thought it was meme, but that's okay.
I don't know. Mem, meme.
Mem, meme. Well, whatever we mean, it's a meme.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and talk about the
funny pictures.
Well, that's part of the fun of online. It doesn't have to be serious all the time. Where would the internet be without the cute cat picture of the day?
You're right.
Twitter.
Harambe.
I guess Harambe, definitely. Anyway, Roger Goodell said, Twitter is where the live events unfold and is the right partner for the NFL as we take the latest step in serving fans around the world live NFL football. There's a massive amount of NFL-related conversation happening on Twitter during our games and tapping into that audience. In addition to our viewers on broadcast and cable, we'll ensure Thursday Night Football is seen on an unprecedented number of platforms this season. The agreement also provides additional reach for those brands advertising with our broadcast partners. So is Facebook a little scared when they see that? Roger Goodell is pretty clear that Twitter is what's happening with the NFL. And
I don't think so. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is shaking his boots reading that press clip. It's a good thing for Twitter. But is it going? I don't think it'll have a major impact. This is not a game changer, so to speak. I don't believe it is. Because once again, like I said, you probably can stream this game on a number of other different platforms. I'm sure that if you go to NFL.com or have the NFL mobile app, you can watch the game there as well. It makes for a nice addition, maybe a complement to the game tonight. But it's not a game changer. I don't think this changes the face of how we watch football. People will always gravitate towards large screens when it comes to football. I guarantee you tonight, a lot of people will be gathered at the local watering hole or Buffalo Wild Wings, Roosters, whatever, to watch the game on big screens. it's a nice compliment, but it's not going to revolutionize anything.
And of course, Mark Zuckerberg could just buy seats for everybody in his in his company at the stadium, because he has trillions and trillions and zillions of dollars, which must be nice at age 32.
Yeah.
But he certainly has caused a revolution that unprecedented in our world and how we communicate.
Right.
And he's a good guy too. He's a philanthropist, and his wife is a great doctor. I mean, he's a very good person, and I do admire him. So it's probably partially out of jealousy that I do say that. But life must go on. Anything else, Harry, you'd like to share with us? You're certainly a man of great perspectives. And
I think I'm going to leave it at that. And I'll just say, you know, even though most of us will be watching football tonight, actually we'll be watching the UC Houston game, because that's a big game for the University of Cincinnati as far as standing in the football world as they try to get into a bigger conference to the Big 12. But I would say, even though you might be watching football, to kind of keep an eye on what goes on at Moffray Stadium tonight and see how people react to that as controversy comes to Central Ohio.
As we saw on our Facebook feed, Harry, our fellow Facebook friend, the one whose last name is a brand of soup, he said that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
he said that the Bengals would be a wild card team, and I said, "Well, that would be nice, but I wouldn't bet much on that." What do you think? What are the hopes? I mean, we're right kind of between Pittsburgh, Browns, and Bengals. We have multiple teams that people root for in Mid Ohio. What are your thoughts on those three teams? Are they going to be in the playoffs? Or
I think two of the three will be in the playoffs. I think it's very easy to guess which one will not. That's the team up north. That's just a disaster up there. And now you have RG3. He's going to be out for 8 weeks with a shoulder issue. It just is amazing. And I know everyone up there is still on a high from winning the NBA championship, and God bless them for that. But it is amazing how a franchise every season continually finds ways to shoot itself in the foot. And it is laughable, and I will be the first one to make jokes about it. But in a way, it is almost kind of sad. I mean, it's just incredible how every year the Cleveland Browns find a new way to just fumble away another season. There's no hope. I don't see any hope for that franchise. I know they have a new coach. They have a new regime leading them. But it just seems like the same old, same old. And here, you know, with RG3 going down, here it goes once again.
So you do see the Steelers and the Bengals.
Yes. Steelers and Bengals will be there. As far as which one gets a wild card, which one wins the division, I think it's a toss-up.
What kind of performance? Go ahead.
Well, the Bengals go into Pittsburgh this weekend, and if you put a gun to my head, I'd have a hard time actually picking the Bengals, even though I'm a Bengals fan, to pick them in Pittsburgh for the Steelers' home opener. I'm sure hoping the Bengals pull it off. But it wouldn't shock me if they were to lose this game coming up Sunday. But both will be in the playoffs.
So my favorite Ohio State alumnus, Mr. Nugent, will he have a consistent year? He's very talented. Sometimes he seems to lose consistency, but the talent,
I think he'll be all right.
The talent is there.
The only thing about the Bengals is losing Tyler Eifert. Will they be able to make up for that? Other than that, the team's solid. Cincinnati has a solid team. The Bengals are solid. Just once again, it's a question of how far will they go in the playoffs. Can they actually make it past the first round, or will there be another epic flameout, as we've seen the past few seasons?
Right, and Cincinnati is certainly known for that, and as are the Reds.
But, well, I was there for it last season.
Yeah, so I think we have an exciting NFL. Whether you listen to it or stream it on Twitter, or you go to a game if you can afford football tickets, and all the more power to you if you can. Or you watch it on TV like I do, or on the radio. We have an exciting season certainly on the way. Last but not least, Harry, the Cavs. Will next year be a storybook season, or is this a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence?
They'll be in it. I mean, that's obvious. They'll be in the mix, and they'll probably be in the finals. It's just a matter of, will Golden State be able to rebound and win a championship? Obviously, adding Kevin Durant to the Warriors is going to help. So, will they repeat? I don't know. But I'm sure whether they repeat or not, everyone up there in Cleveland's going to enjoy the championship for years to come. because it's been so long in the making. So even if they weren't to win the NBA championship again and repeat, I don't think too many people up there will be that disappointed. They'll be happy with what they got this season.
Will LeBron go down, Harry, as the greatest basketball player ever? Is he better than Michael Jordan? Is it still? I guess he's
early 30s,
I believe,
can't
so.
Pull the trigger on that. We'll have to see why he does the rest of his career, but right now, no, I can't say that. Michael Jordan is still, hands down, the greatest player ever in NBA history.
Maybe LeBron should try to play baseball, go to AA like Michael
no,
Jordan.
No, he better not do that. I think that'd be a bad idea.
Yeah, I was looking at a Facebook article where it listed the most famous people from each of the 88 counties. And Summit County was, which is Akron, is the most interesting one. They did pick LeBron James, and normally you pick a historical figure. For example, right. Here in Marion, the top choice was Warren G. Harding's wife. Warren G. Harding was picked for Morrow County because he grew up in that area and moved to Marion, and of course started the newspaper as a young adult. Other choices in Summit County were Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders, a favorite rock star of mine. And I agree she's important, but I would agree that LeBron James would be number one, despite being still a pretty young man. The impact he's made puts him at, in a county with a lot of famous people, puts him at number one. So that was really an interesting poll. They had Rutherford B. Hayes for Delaware County, and Jack Hanna was like a runner-up. So I did find that quite intriguing, and a lot of people in history and some surprises. And in some of the more rural counties, Jackson County or Noble County, the people might have been Civil War or Revolutionary War people. So
that makes sense.
But yeah, LeBron has had quite an impact, and I think he is an Ohio hero. And we say we do hold athletes to a higher standard. And maybe just, you know, certainly the controversy with him going to Miami and coming back, people will be talking about that forever, social media or wherever. But I think LeBron has a good image as a good person.
He does.
Without a
he
lot
does.
Of controversy.
He does. The misstep going to Miami, which, you know, we can rehash that. I don't know if we have time to rehash that. But I think that was well within his right to do that. I thought he got a lot of criticism that was undeserved for that. But, yeah, the conquering hero returns home and makes good. It's a fairy tale story.
So would you put Jack Hanna or Rutherford B. Hayes as the number one figure from Delaware County?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Give me Jungle Jack. What the heck?
Okay. Well, that's fine. We have a lot of presidents from Ohio, and, of course, here in Marion, we have Mr. Harding and his family. And Warren G. Harding's grandson is on with Scott Spears occasionally for his Now program. So we even have some connections here at the station just to make things fun. Well, anyway, Harry Eprim Jr. from North End of Columbus.
Yeah.
Talk just briefly, Harry, about your day job for an important nonprofit organization. We didn't cover that too much last time, but they do a lot of great work, and I think we should tell people about
that. I am heading into one of the local grocers, which we know begins with a K, that is going to give us a donation. They donate pastries to us every Tuesday and Thursday, and that's for the Open Shelter. It's an agency here in Columbus, a nonprofit that helps the homeless and marginally housed. And we primarily try to focus on a person's needs to survive, food, clothing, hygiene items. But we expound on that. We start with that and then use that to help people get back into housing and get supportive services that they need, like help with employment, help with Social Security, help with health issues, things that might be plaguing them health-wise. So we try to do that to help the most vulnerable in the community. And if people want to find more about us, about the Open Shelter here in Columbus, the best way to do it is actually on social media, facebook.com/theopenshelter. It's a pretty active page, and that's where you can get the latest info about us. We do have a website, theopenshelter.org. But that's more kind of frozen with the basic info. But to see what we do every day, I'd suggest going to facebook.com/theopenshelter. And people can see ways they can help as well.
You help maintain that Facebook page, I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
And obviously the Facebook presence helps out the Open Shelter.
Yes, it does. That, and we're on Twitter as well, at the Open Shelter. And, yeah, many people have connected to us through that. We got a wonderful donation of shoes from an agency, actually from a group that came in and not only brought the shoes, but helped fit the shoes on the feet of those who needed them. So that was a great thing as well. So social media does help.
Do you stream live on Twitter like the NFL, or not gotten to that point?
No, we don't stream live much of what we do. We might post a video to here or there of a group helping, but no, we're not streaming live.
Okay. Just wasn't quite sure, because you're a great organization that's helped many people in the area. And you,
maybe
Harry,
we'll try that. Maybe at a dinner some night we'll stream live.
You, Harry, is one of the royalties in social media here in the great Buckeye State. An excellent source
I don't know about that,
of information, data, perspectives, and just like with myself, an occasional wisecrack. Well, hopefully, Harry, you can make another appearance live in the studio very soon. It was great having you here on St. Patrick's Day during March Madness.
March Madness.
And I wish you a great day at work. Tell people tell people how to get in touch with you personally on your Facebook or your Twitter.
Well, you can. The best way is probably to go to at Harry from CBUS on Twitter. On Facebook, I think I have an open page. Sometimes I don't know if that's the smartest of things, but it's Harry Yeprem Jr., last name Yeprem, and there's a junior on there because that was also my father's name, of course. So there you go, and if you want to join in the madness, feel free.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Have a great day, Harry. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Adam.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on Marion's Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 FM. That was one of our listeners. Again, about 45 minutes south of here in Columbus, Mr. Harry Yeprem Jr., an expert on sports and social media and a few other things. If you'd like to join the conversation, I'd be glad to have you. Still plenty of time to chime in. Don't be shy. Pick up the rotary dial phone or your POTS phone, we call it, plain old telephone service, or your cell phone, your smartphone. Give me a call here. We can talk about anything tech-related. 740-383-9944. My name is Adam Lepp. You can visit my website at adamthecomputerguy.com and find out more about me. And you can connect with me on Facebook, just like you can with Harry. Just look for Adam the Computer Guy, Facebook.com, Adam the Computer Guy, that is I. I'm a pretty friendly person. Just let me know that you listen to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH, and I'll be happy to be your cyber friend. How about that? We talked about Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, all of his money, which is certainly very nice. But again, he does a lot of good things, and he's very open about how things go at Facebook and his perspectives on the important and evolving world of social media. He recently hosted a live video event, a town hall question and answer in Rome, Italy. Mark Zuckerberg took to the stage to pay his respects to victims of the earthquake and about how Facebook's safety check helped users. He talked about how question and answer sessions were a part of the company's culture. Again, Mark Zuckerberg let people know that it was important for anyone to be able to ask him about what Facebook and even him in his personal life was thinking. One person asked about Facebook's interference with real-life interaction. In the virtual world we live in, do people not just talk anymore? They don't go over and bring a cake and a pitcher of lemonade. They just talk over their phone or their Facebook, and is that affecting life? And I would say that it probably is. But we could also use social media to enrich life, and that's where I think this came in. At the town hall question and answer session, Mark Zuckerberg was directly asked about how Facebook was interfering with people's lives and even running them. The questioner, who was a university student, asked him about how people communicated face-to-face more often in the past, as opposed to now. Zuckerberg took the question and said that if he felt Facebook was breaking something in the world, he would alter what Facebook does, the product and the face of the product. He explained that Facebook was not meant to replace real-life interactions, but to augment it. He said that people in the same vicinity as each other would not talk to each other on Facebook, but somebody across the country or the world might do just that. Facebook was meant to help family and friends far away stay in touch. He said that that's how he communicates with his sister across the country, using Facebook. Of course, the answer seemed a bit vague, and that's sometimes how it has to be, but Facebook being so broad-ranging, that we would expect that to an extent. Of course, phone calls and texting, video conferencing also connect people with each other. Zuckerberg did talk about virtual reality and hinted that virtual reality might actually help users bridge their distance from each other. Facebook, if it were to depend heavily on virtual reality, it might end up confirming people's fears by replacing real-life interaction in a virtual fantasy world. He talked about augmented reality and that it was more likely that apps like Pokemon Go. See, we went till 5 minutes before the show ends before we talked about Pokemon Go. How about that? Well, he said that apps like that would start off the virtual augmented reality bandwagon. Then you have your smart glasses, the Google Glass and other things that have come down the pike recently. They would get more of a shot in the world that we live in. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg even joked that he was in Rome, Italy, to catch a rare Pokemon near the Colosseum. How about that? So even Mark Zuckerberg plays Pokemon Go. Gotta love it. He further talked about the internet and the need to connect people, as well as the Aquila drone. The answers to those questions were somewhat generic. What was interesting to see was that users were asking real questions that did not seem filtered. This showed that the town hall question and answer session, again held recently in Rome, Italy, with Mark Zuckerberg, is a real activity where users can ask the CEO of Facebook important questions. It also showed his ability to think on his feet, which is expected from the CEO of one of the world's largest tech companies. Now, we've talked on this station. In fact, Scott Spears, coming up in about 2 hours and 15 minutes on his Now program, he's asked the question, is Facebook a media company? In fact, I even called the show once and asked him about that. Well, they certainly influence how people feel about current events, and people do share their opinions, and there's been controversy that Facebook has biased postings to the left, that is the more liberal type postings, and that controversy still remains. But as Scott has said, Facebook doesn't have bureaus. They're just a place to exchange information and exchange opinions. And I would agree with that. We don't necessarily have to have a bureau to be a news organization. But certainly when you have reporters covering events and topics locally, as in terms of where they're actually occurring, that does make you more of a credible media outlet. But with the exchange of information taking place on Facebook, I would call them a media company or news agency, at least to a partial extent. Facebook has acknowledged the need for actual news companies in the world. That is, they'll never replace NBC and CBS and CNN and reporters, investigative reporting. They'll just supplement what's already offered. This question and answer session followed a high-profile visit by Mark Zuckerberg. We talked about his wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan. They met Pope Francis. They met the Italian Prime Minister to discuss connectivity. Facebook's advances in the connectivity sector are very clear, as it is the influence of its founder. It remains to be seen how successful Facebook will be in achieving its goals. But the town hall question and answer session gave a very good glimpse into the life of a very important, very rich man who's still in just his early 30s, Mark Zuckerberg. Let me know what you think about that. I think it's great that he's reaching out and talking to people on a candid basis, like talking to your neighbor. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or you can give me a call. There's still time to chime in here. About 85 seconds left to the show. 740-383-9944. So coming up after the 10 a.m. features, today and every Wednesday and every Thursday, is our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. Rumor has it he has some very special guests coming up. They are talking as I talk about what they're going to talk about on Charlie's show. Don't want to miss it. Again, call him live at 740-383-9944. And then coming up after the noon features, it is Now with Scott Spears. Talk about investigative reporters, people that aren't afraid to ask the right questions. Scott is the man. He's also our program director. He'll be on again about 12, 13 minutes after noon Eastern Daylight Time with the program called Now. Always some great guests, oftentimes celebrity guests. And of course, like almost any show here on WWGH, always a surprise or two. Adam the Computer Guy here, Adam Lepp, thanking you very much for listening today. Thank you, Harry Yeprem Jr., for calling. Great conversation as always. Coming up on 10 a.m., that means my show is over. Talk to you Tuesday, shortly after 9 a.m. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.